Welcome to the opening debut podcast of the Football Coaches Podcast, powered by FBSHQ. We are here today at the WAS Service Studios here in Jacksonville. I am Coach Stockley, and I have beside me...
This is Coach Kaysen.
And today we are going to introduce our first ever podcast, episode number one.
All right, first let's talk about the podcast. Obviously, we're two football coaches in the Jacksonville area. This is a podcast for football coaches, mainly. We won't too much talk about anything outside of high school football, how to coach, what it takes to coach. We're going to talk about not only schemes, we want to talk about program development. We want to talk about a lot of things that we all go through on a daily basis that I know what other coaches go through. First things first, I want to say that we don't have all the answers. This is a learning process for not only us, but for anybody else. We want to open up the conversation for a lot of things. So when me and Coach were talking initially about creating this podcast, we wanted to do it for a little while, and we nearly immediately knew what we wanted to talk about in our opening episode. Before schemes, before what a cover two is, before gap schemes, before teaching how to do a kickout block, before trap, before anything we talk about when it comes to a football, like a game day, Friday night atmosphere, we immediately hit on the fact that we wanted to talk about what it takes to be a high school football coach. People don't understand what goes in and what comes out of being a high school football coach. People just think you show up on Friday, especially when it comes to the fans you see in the stands on Fridays, you know, hollering block harder, doing things that they don't understand what goes in every day. And I think even people and former players that are wanting prospectively to go into coaching don't understand what all goes into actually being a coach. So we wanted to start there. We thought that was a good place. And I think the first thing that needs to be said about football coaching and becoming a high school football coach is the fact that you can't make a living doing this.
Not at all.
The only way you're going to make a living now, if I'm talking to a coach that's in Texas, obviously I'm lying to my teeth because he knows he can make a living doing this. But it ain't that easy to get into high school. Yeah, especially in Florida. Main states that you're going to make any kind of money is Georgia and Texas, really. So with that said, you've obviously got to have another job. You've got to do other things to figure out your finances so that you can do what we love. And that brings us straight to our second point. And one of the biggest things, you got to love football. You can't just get hype, feel hyped experiences like football. You have to love football. Coaching football entails, you don't get to see your family nearly as much. And it's not like these NFL coaches or these college coaches that don't get to see their family as much but are making, you know, six figures, seven figures in some cases. It is literally you're taking what you're doing. You're basically spending your Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like all 7 days are spent dealing with coaching football. And that doesn't even include coaching. When that was the hardest thing adjustment for me was half of the stuff we do isn't even coaching football. It's dealing with kids, it's dealing with parents, it's many things outside of what is cover two. I mean, it's many things outside of four verticals. It's many things outside of what are you doing on the football field. The first couple things that we want to talk about are what do first year coaches need to understand. So, what do a first year perspective football coach need to understand that he's getting into football?
The great thing that Coach just brought up, and I'm just going to put everything pretty much what he said into our first point. It takes commitment. You have to be willing to wake up and do nothing but football. You have to be willing to take time away from family, friends, and any other thing in your life to coach football. You have to be willing to sit in front of a computer, do huddle, break down film, fighting tendencies. What people don't understand is that football is not X's and O's all the time. What people don't understand is sometimes, especially in high school, football is going out and getting kids and being in the weight room and monitoring kids and coming up with things to do. It's not always about just X's and O's, and the guys do not understand that coming into their first year of coaching.
Not at all. This is for me personally. We went to a couple years now. We've gone to clinics, and I don't even care to go to clinics where a guy wants to talk about red zone or what he does when he sees 3-by-1 or how he defends RPOs. I don't care about that. What I want to know, honestly, for one, is the weight room. That's where your program is born. That's where your program dies. That is absolutely it. You will go as far as the weight room takes you. If you are slow, weak, and small, you're not going to win many games.
Very true.
You're not going to win many games, regardless of what you do. Regardless of what you do, you're not going to win many games doing that. I want to hear, when I go to these clinics, I want to hear how to develop kids, how to develop leaders, how to develop a program, not just, I don't know, how to stop the flex bone or something. Those things, there's a million ways to skin a cat and win a game. Teams have won state championships running a 4-4 cover 3 in the most basic possible things. Teams have won championships running 21 personnel, fullback, just running ISO on you all night. So that's one of the first things we really wanted to talk to coaches. Keep it simple, especially in your first year. Admit, for one, you got to admit failure, and you got to be humble. You have to come in knowing that not only you may know a ton of things. Like I know that from my personal experience, I've got a lot of football smarts growing up, but there's a ton of things you on a day-to-day basis that I was not ready for, that you are not ready. The first year coaches are not ready for at all. As in dealing with kids, as in dealing with kids who don't have rides, who don't have the parental support of any of a family, of a way to get to and from workouts, a way to get to and from classes. We ended up, I mean, every day we're taking kids home. You're going to take kids home.
Spend a lot of money in gas.
You're going to spend a lot of money.
You have to have that commitment.
I know we've already hit on it, but if you're getting in this to make money, You're in the wrong business. I mean, you're in the wrong business. You don't want... Got some cooked? You got to realize that these kids have off-field problems. Football is not the biggest thing to them. And to be honest to you...
We don't want it to be.
Not only do we not want it to be for them, to honest, football shouldn't be the biggest thing for you as a first-year coach. Your family's gonna be more. Your family should be more important. It absolutely has to be more important. There's a couple more things we want to hit on with a first year head coach or a first year coach. I'm sorry, not a first year head coach.
The one thing that I, as a first year coach, had to understand that nothing happens overnight. And there was plenty of times where after my first practice or the first week of practice, I'm gonna go home and they'll have it tomorrow. But they come back tomorrow not thinking of all the off field issues they deal with in life, grades, home, anything of that. When they come back the next day, all that stuff went through one ear, out another. So what you got to understand is it's going to take repetition. And I could not for the life understand why all coaches preach reps. Oh, they got it. It doesn't matter. Reps. As many, I don't care if you did it 10,000 times, do it 10 more thousand times. To be great at something, you have to do it. You have to rep it over and over and over again. And don't be afraid to go back over something. Don't be afraid to in practice. Lost my train of thought. Don't be afraid to be in practice to keep doing the same thing over and over again. They're going to say, "Coach, this is boring. I don't care."
Realize that they don't have it. That's the first thing as well that takes some time. You think you lined them up in the perfect 4-3 under front. They know their gaps. They know whatever blitzes you've created. They know whatever calls you have, whatever coverages you got. They do not get it off one day. They do not get it off one week. They do not get it off one month. You have to beat it in their head all the time, 24/7. That the 24/7, the complete max amount of time you get to coach these kids, you have to beat these ideas into their head. There's never enough reps. There's never enough. Exactly what Coach said. But there's always more reps. You need to always get more reps, more reps, more reps to these kids when you have the opportunity. Because, like you said before, kids have a lot going on. This, the family life is should be and is far more important than football. This is a game. But if you want to be successful at it, it takes a lot of discipline. And discipline comes from 1,000 reps. One of my mentors as a coach says it takes 48,000 reps. Imagine that. Put that in your head. 48,000 reps. I'm not sure you get 48,000 reps in a full calendar year for a season. It's absolutely not. It's absolutely not. I think that you always just got to harp on small victories when you're going. You need
the little things.
Those very, very small things. As in, you always want to leave. You want to bring hype to these kids, make it fun for them, and always leave practice, you know, feeling like they got better, you got better. You have to be able to do these things to make them feel more confident, because when it comes down to it, we hear coaches say all the time, oh, our kids are soft, oh, our kids are slow, oh, our kids are whatever. You wonder why your kids are soft and slow? Because they don't have enough confidence. When you don't think and it's confident and you just do, you play fast. That's why your kids tackle harder, because he knows he was there every single rep of the way in the off season when you went through standing up, just showing them where to put their head placement, their arms, how to rip through, step up, and drive for five and tackling. Just in tackling. Just in the drill that has nothing to do with what we picture what football has to do with what football is about. And that's the things that give them confidence. That's why I say do a million reps of that. I believe you should start tackling circuits as quickly as possible. Just because, especially on defense. So I'm a defensive-minded coach. Especially on defense, how else are you going to stop them? You got to get the ball, you got to put them on the ground. That's how you get them. That's how you stop them from getting 10 yards and getting the ball back. But that's where confidence comes from. That's how they get better. They have to have reps. That brings us back to the reps thing. The reps, the reps, the reps, and the reps. It's going to make them more confident and in tune, make them play faster. And that's the only way to do it. That's how they're going to get better. That's how they're going to. Your kids don't just show up on Friday and are Ed Reed. It just doesn't happen. Your kids just don't show up. And if they are, then they're Ed Reed, and that's why they did it. So that's a whole nother good problem to have. Must be nice to have that problem. We don't really have that problem where we're from, even though we have a lot of speed in Florida and a lot of talent around here. There's no doubt there's a lot of talent around here. Another thing that first-year coaches need to understand is how to take not only criticism of where you're doing it wrong, you have to be humble in that, you do have to be humble, but take advice. Try different things. Try a lot of things. Try different little things that you don't know whether or not they're going to work, but if they work for every kid, because every kid's different, but every kid's the same. And I don't know how I'm ever going to get that point across to somebody, but it's absolutely true.
Another thing, one thing coaches has to understand is don't be afraid to ask questions. Any question that you think may be stupid is not stupid. I've seen and heard many coaches fail because they're so terrified of asking questions to understand something, and then they go out there and make a mockery of themselves and just don't understand what's going on. Ask questions. If you don't know, ask. If they don't know, find somebody that do know. Find ways to understand the game of football better.
Every single day.
Don't be afraid to be better. That's one thing we preach more and more. Don't be afraid to be better.
That's a good point, Coach. Don't be afraid to be better. I like
that. Always be better. You know, you wake up, be better at something. It don't matter what it is. Always leave practice feeling that you got better at something, whether it's lining up right, whether it's a stance, whether it's so simple as a stance. And you don't understand how hard it is to teach a guy how to get in a stance properly.
Oh, if anybody that's not a first-year coach is listening and they've worked with a freshman, they know how they hard know. It is to put a kid in a three-point stance.
And it's, make him hold it and then come back the next day and try to do it all over again. So don't be afraid to ask. Not asking, you will fail.
Yep.
That's I don't know how else to put it. I'm
not nice not knowing it. And not asking. This is something a wise man told me one time. He said, not knowing and not asking is a sign of ignorance. That's the only sign of ignorance, is not knowing and not asking. So definitely ask a million questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You should know, as a first-year coach, you don't know everything. You don't at all. You don't even know anything. You nearly know nothing. You know enough, and you should use every moment to sponge up what's going on. The thing you need to do, the thing that you do have over players that you do immediately have, is when you get there, is the ability to show leadership. These kids need leadership. You have to always be held to a higher standard. You have to always do what is right. You have to show these kids how to do these things. Not only because you want to win football games on Friday, because to be honest with you, you're going to get four kids that know how. You're going to get four kids that know how to play football, that are football players. They walk in there, they're mad animals, and they can play football. The rest of them, you got to teach them how to
do everything.
You got to teach them how to be a leader. You got to teach them how to do the right things, the small things. Now, what is leadership to you? Leadership to me is influence. Influence, and there's multiple. There's good leadership and there's bad leadership in my mind. There's always good leadership and there's bad leadership. It's absolutely influence. Leadership is not only doing the right thing yourself, but say you're in the weight room and you see somebody that we're on a 10-set module and they only hit 8 and they go to get up. Leadership is telling them
to go back.
To go back, go get those last two reps, because we don't win games with one person. It's impossible. There's 22 men on the field. Good leadership knows that if a guy cheats a rep, he ain't cheating himself at this point. Because if that man's the corner, if he's the starting corner, he's cheating the team. Because when he misses a tackle that he wasn't supposed to miss, or he does something incorrectly, who loses out? The team loses out. The team gives up a touchdown. The team gives up a first down. The team loses out. And that's what you got to always have in the back of their minds. You got to point that through all the time, always time, all the time, all the time. Talk about leadership. Leadership and program development will always win you a lot more games than having the great scheme. And that brings us to our next point, and that's that everything looks good on the board.
I can tell you that personally.
You can draw up anything on a board, and I can make it look good for you.
Coach is the defensive, I'm the offensive guy, and I'm telling you, when every time you get up to the board, it looks amazing. It looks perfect. It looks just so beautiful. And until you get out there, and have to explain it, what a lot of guys don't understand is drawing something on the board is totally different than teaching it. Because when you're teaching something to a player, when you're teaching a new play to a player, you have to understand, you want to teach them how to line up. You want to teach them, for receivers, what foot should be up, what foot they're breaking on, how many steps they're taking. Quarterback, especially quarterbacks, his reads, is he reading first level, is he reading second level defenders or third level defenders? You have to understand, just because you put it on the board and it looks good, you gotta be able to teach it. If you can't teach it, it's not going to work. Going on Madden and drawing up full verts on the board, that's not going to win you ball games. It's on Madden for a reason.
Like you said, with everything looking good on the board, as a defensive coach, or I don't like to say that I'm a defensive-minded coach, but right now I coach defense and I specialize in defense at the moment. As a defensive coach, everything on the board for the offense does look good. When you're in a staff meeting with the offensive coaches and they draw some stuff up and they say, how would you defend this? You say, well, in hindsight, if I can't get to the quarterback, you're going to win anyhow. I mean, it doesn't matter at that point. The most important thing is don't worry about the board. Worry about the technique, because the board don't matter if my three tech gets under your guard, turns his hips or turns his shoulders the wrong way, gets inside of him and tears the quarterback up in 3.5 seconds. The play was fantastic, coach. You did a great job putting him in the right position. You got all the players. It was wide open. That post route in the back was wide open. But the ball on the ground, it's 3rd and 15 now. So you did all this and it's still 3rd and 15. So focus. Take yourself. As a first-year coach, you're probably not going to have the opportunity to call plays, but this is something we all look for. We always want to call plays. We always want to be the head of things. We always think that we can do a great job, and we should. I mean, that's human instinct. Now, you need to understand that you don't need 100 concepts. Don't teach your players a million things. Teach them one thing a million times.
Be great at it, yes.
Just to be fantastic at it. Because if you go to play a team that Paoro, I consider Paoro the greatest run concept of all time. It's been around since the 70s. You can debate me on it. You can send in messages, send in emails, do all that. You can go to FBSHQ.com and talk about it all you want about how you think Paoro isn't. But the reason I think Paoro is the reason that it's the best run concept is that because you can – that's just such a versatile concept. Say you stuff two in the A, it's going to bounce the back. The guard's going to bounce it, and he's going to get out there on your Sam. You have nobody out there. But if you're running Paoro counter, for some reason y'all getting a flex bone, y'all run some kind of power read, you're running some kind of reverse concept, you're running way too many things you need, you can win a whole game running power. Because if they can't stop it,
You keep running it.
Don't think you need a million answers. If one answer's working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the old adage. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And don't fix it. It's very simple. If it's working, don't think just because it's working, it's not going to just magically stop working. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep trusting in the process. That brings us up to back to the reps. The reps thing. Trust in the process. Trust in what you're teaching. Know what you're teaching firsthand. Because there is another way to do it. There's always another way to do it. There's always a successful way to do it that's not the way you do it. But your way is successful, coach. Keep coaching as hard as you can. Keep instilling the same ideas into them. Keep doing it. Never stop coaching. It's going to be difficult. You're going to get that kid that just doesn't get it.
And we love them all. We love that one kid that does not get it.
Because you got to think, realize, that kid may not get it, but one day when he find that light finally clicks, he might be the dude for you. He might be the catalyst for your future successes once you bring him together with some other cats you got. And that's why where leadership comes in, and that's where the reps comes in, the working hard. You got to treat each guy the same. Give him the same reps. Keep coaching them. My players know the second that I stop talking to them and stop coaching them, they know I've given up on them. I have nothing else I can give them, right? If I can't make them any better, I'm going to stop coaching them, correct? So with that mind state, I'm going to coach every kid the same. Treat third backup just as same as your star quarterback.
Play it all the time.
And maybe on a football field, do it. On a football field, treat your backup the same. Because he may not be a backup in 2 years. That sophomore, kids' hormones are insane nowadays. You got to realize that he could show up and be 5'10 and 150 soaking wet as a 15-year-old sophomore. Then he's 16 the next year. You come back the summer, he gains 4 inches in the summer, puts on 30 pounds, and jumps all his maxes by 35 pounds. Now he's a prospect. Now we care about him. Don't care about him then because he ain't going to give a crap about you. He isn't going to care about you. These kids they got lives out of football. I know we've said that many a times. They're looking for a coach, a mentor. They're looking for people in their life to care about them, and that is when they will care about you. They won't care about you till then.
Not only that, just bandwagon on what coaches said. If you don't do it, I promise you somebody else will. If you don't give that player the love and the attention they want, it's always a coach out there that's willing to do it. And I've seen it happen. There are coaches that pride their career on snatching players. So if you don't give them that attention, there's another coach out there that will.
And unfortunately, me and Coach are in a district or a county that you can pretty much play anywhere you want, which completely invites recruiting, which is illegal, but that's a whole other topic for a whole other
subject.
We'll
talk about that. And we don't really care. And give you our frustrations.
We're talking about first-year coaches.
But
make sure you stay on first-year coaches.
Another thing for first-year coaches, I promise you, there are going to be days you're going to wake up and say, I don't want to coach. There are going to be days where you don't want to go to practice because of maybe a previous practice or maybe a game. That is where you have to keep coaching.
Or maybe because you're 0-8 as a coach.
Or that too.
It's hard to show up when you get
it's
you
hard to show up and coaching. Keep motivated when nothing, and keyword, nothing goes right. It all looks good on the board. It all looks good on paper.
These kids just don't get it.
It just don't get it. And I promise to you, the more and more you get up and say, hey, you just got to understand, it'll get better one day. When?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you that. If I could, I probably don't want a state championship by now.
Fuck my nut. We have the Jimmies.
But just keep coaching.
All right, so that's mainly what we wanted to talk about today. We wanted to make sure that we talked about absolutely first-year coaches understanding what is needed of them, what they're going to do. So this will be – you'll start seeing many episodes of this. There's multiple ways you can get it. First, in the next couple of days, hopefully by the time this podcast is actually released, we will have it set up on iTunes. So if you obviously have an iPhone, you have a Mac, you have just about anything, you can hook up to iTunes, get on there, go on there, like it, send us a review. If you give us 5 stars, if you loved it, if you have criticism, like we said earlier, we're open to criticism. We're open to criticism. We want to hear people talk. We want to get the word out about it. Also, that is not the only way you'll be able to get there. You'll be able to go through FBS HQ. I'll say that one more time. FBS HQ, it's football's headquarters. That's what we're powered by. Going through here, you can either follow us on Twitter at FBS HQ. You can go straight to the site, sign up to it. There's going to be a ton of content. There's a forum that's coming together. We want to use the forum. You can talk ball there, not just coaching football. If you're outside, we're talking about NFL ball, draft ball. You want to talk college. You want to talk high school ball. I love talking high school ball. That is a platform to you to talk about whatever it is you want to. It is the central for football. I cannot express that to you anymore. We want to thank our sponsors, WAS Services, to give you this nice studio for WAS Services Studio. And this was the Football Coaches Podcast. I am Coach Kaysen signing off.
And I am Coach Kate, Coach Stockley, and I'm Coach S.
And we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.